Are you ready for some fun? Come join the mayor's spooky bike and ball. Put on your spooky costumes and bring your family and friends. We'll ride our bikes to Fort Worth's Oakwood Cemetery and then head back to the water gardens for food, fun, and of course, live music. If you don't want to ride, just put on your costume and come join us for the after party. It is Thursday, October the 30th, beginning at 6:30, and the after party will be 7:30 to 10. Hope to see you there in a great costume.
Funky town. Now I lay me down to sleep. Pray the Lord my soul to keep. Funky town.
I'm Mayor Betsy Price, and we're keeping Fort Worth funky on the Funky Town podcast. I hope you're ready. This show's gonna get a little bit funky and a lot of fun.
Oh, how I love an uptown girl. She's the one I'm thinking of. Daisy May, your mother don't approve of me. So I take the midnight trolley to be with her. Daisy May, Daisy May. Daisy May, Daisy May. Daisy May, I know I live all the way across town. But girl, you know I am bound by your love. You're the one I wanna be around all the time. I'm so glad you're all mine. Oh, how I love an uptown girl. She's the one I'm thinking of. Daisy May, your mother don't approve of me. So I take the midnight trolley to be with her. Daisy May.
Okay, and you're listening to the Funky Town podcast. I'm sitting here with Leon Bridges, and that was Daisy May, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. The first thing I want to say is I was hoping you'd bring over that guitar.
Yeah,
the guitar.
Thank you.
It's a resonator, but I didn't know that Gretsch had made those style.
Oh, yeah, word. Yeah, this actually, I'm borrowing this from my friend Rambo.
Oh, yeah?
Actually, yeah, I wish it was mine.
Yeah, no, that's a nice guitar.
Yeah, it is. Thank you.
And it's got
thank
a great you. Sound. Okay, so last night you got to open up for Macy Gray?
Yes.
At the Kessler?
At the Granada.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I know, I was thinking it was Kessler. All right, right on. So how was that for you? Were you real nervous?
I actually was, yeah. It was just me, Jeff Daisy, and my friend Beth Riley, who sung backup vocals, and it went well.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did y'all play very, very first?
Yes, yeah, we were the first ones.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Was it a good crowd?
It was like probably about maybe 30 people, because, I mean, it was, you know, very early slot, mm-hmm. you know, but I was just thankful to be there and, you know, playing for new people, you know.
Yeah. Did you get to meet Macy Gray or anything?
No, I didn't. No. I saw her coming out of her dressing room, and she was about to get on stage, but that's about it.
No, that's cool. No, we got into her. I don't remember when it was, but I can't remember what the song was, but she had a real popular song.
It was the I Try one?
It might have been.
Okay.
And cool. And we ended up getting that whole album and dug it. It was a good record.
Yeah.
You know, we liked it a lot, but that was years ago. I can't remember telling you what songs were on it, but it had a real cool funky sound to it, a lot of soul.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of just a production value, too. I liked a lot of just different sounds they had.
Indeed.
That kind of filled the air or whatever.
Yeah.
But, no, I think that's cool. And you played at at Fred's earlier that day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you played two sets back to back.
Yeah, it was good. Played a song swap with Christian Lee Hudson.
Mm-hmm.
He's from Nashville, I believe. But yeah, he's an amazing songwriter. And
do you like playing there? I haven't been able to get out there and see a play.
Yeah, that's like yet. My maybe third time playing there, actually.
Okay.
But it's cool.
Yeah, I think, did Vincent play earlier that day?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of playing at a restaurant gigs, but I mean, I'm always thankful for them.
For anywhere you can get.
Mm-hmm.
Now, lately you've been playing at the Magnolia
Motor Lounge. Uh-huh. Yeah, I was doing a residency there. We did it for about a month.
Is that over with now?
Yes.
Yeah. All right, so seems like the last years, well, you know, it seems like you've been really busy. I don't know for how long. I mean, I think you're one of the hardest working guys around. It seems like you're always somewhere playing, doing, you know, something. And I kept seeing your name pop up. And then I saw it for the weekly, you were nominated. What were you nominated for?
It was for Blues and Soul.
Blues and Soul?
Mm-hmm.
Did you get that?
Yes.
Did you win it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right on. Congrats. Is it the little cat trophy and stuff?
Yeah.
I think that's cool.
Yeah, it is a cool looking thing.
But yeah, you're on the compilation, and that's the one of the first times that I'd seen you or that heard you play.
Oh, okay, wow.
Or that song or whatever.
That's cool.
But yeah, James Zammitz, you know, from Keep Fort Worth, Funky, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He talked about that he was somewhere with you, and y'all were all sitting around like a campfire, and you pulled out your guitar and started playing.
Oh yeah,
and
that was a good time.
Yeah, no, he said it was amazing. He said everybody just sat there quiet, just mm-hmm. watched you, listened, and you know, it was a real cool moment. Mm-hmm. You know, he said, and so he talked really highly about you, and I was like, man, I gotta check this kid out. And then kept seeing your name over and over and over and over again.
Man,
so what have you been up to as far as like you've been recording some, right?
Yes, we've been we set up a little, studio in the warehouse at Shipping and Receiving.
Uh-huh.
Me and Austin Jenkins and Josh Block, and we recorded about 7 or 8 songs already, and we're actually getting back in tomorrow.
Doing some more.
Yeah,
and
so hopefully we'll be done recording by December.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
it'll be a full record.
I'm thinking I'm still contemplating whether or not I want to, you know, release it as a EP or full length.
As a full length.
Mm-hmm.
One of the songs from that session is that Coming Home.
Yes.
Now that seems to be getting a lot of traction, doesn't it?
Yes. I've been getting really good feedback from it.
And you posted a video. Was it on like a Sirius station?
The
XM radio?
Yeah, because somebody had posted about it. I didn't get to see it, but I think it's XM radio or something like that played it. I was like, whoa, okay.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know, and I've seen it, but I read the article that Gorilla versus Bear wrote up, and then it had that song, and it had, what was the other song?
Better Man.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, Better Man. And those are real good. So it's not, the record isn't like right here, just you and a guitar, or even mm-hmm. just you and Jeff with a saxophone.
Yeah.
It's a full band.
Mm-hmm.
So I was trying to think how I wanted to ask you this, and it's probably to be a little funny about it. I was going to ask you how you time traveled from the middle 60s to these days. You know, how did you get here? Because it seems like you're as authentic as the dudes that were from that era.
Yeah. You know? I mean, as far as like the music and the sound, I mean, when I first started writing, my mindset was like, okay, I want to make creative soul music. And I was really inspired by artists like Miguel and Frank Ocean, who were doing like alternative R&B type style. But eventually, I just wasn't satisfied with what I was writing, and just thought about that 1960s, soul sound, and I was like, okay, I want to tap into this,
mm-hmm.
And been doing it ever since. And you know, I figured that. You know, I wanted to be consistent in the way that I look, you know, and so that's how
Yeah, because you have the style as well. You know, every picture that I see of you is in black and white, you know, and it looks like it's from that time period.
Mm.
And so, no, you've really managed. I mean, I don't know if that's part of making a brand or what, but yeah, it's the whole, I mean, it's the aesthetics of it as well as the actual sound and the emotion, I think, whenever you're listening to it, it takes you, you know, to like just this classic type place
Thank
or whatever.
You. Thank you. Yeah, big shout out to Aaron Rambo, who takes the majority of my pictures.
Okay. Because I was going to ask if you just had somebody say, here's my phone, you know, take my picture in front of this wall, or if you actually had like a buddy with you most of the time that took
It's usually like, I mean, it's more like, hey, let's just go hang out somewhere. And, you know, she always has her camera with her. And so it's always, you know, good moments, I guess, you know.
It's around town, and with it being an old town, you can find like an old building that has some cracks and stuff in it, and it kind of adds a little bit of texture and a little bit of, you know, time to it. Even though it's now, it looks old.
Yeah,
because the building is old, and your clothes are classic style.
Yeah,
and,
it works out perfect.
Yeah,
thanks for it.
No, I always get a trip out of watching the seeing those. So I saw you. I finally got a chance to see you play, and you played at the Chat Room for the Men of Fairmont Car Wash.
Oh yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, that was a fun little event they had going on.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But awesome. It was just you, wasn't it?
Me and Jeff Daisy.
Okay, no, that's right. He was there. I was trying to think of. So how long have you been playing with Jeff?
We've been off and on. Probably for about a year. He first saw me when I used to sit in on Sam Anderson's set at Magnolia Motor Lounge, and you know, got up there and jammed with me, and I was like, whoa, this cat can play for sure.
Yeah.
And we just started building the friendship, and, you know.
Kind of took it away, yeah.
Yeah.
See, I think, is it a tenor sax that he plays? Do you know? Has
baritone?
A curvy?
Baritone.
Oh, it's a baritone, yes. So it's a big, big one. Okay. And, it sounds real good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
And so you guys just, y'all got to go to New Orleans?
Yes, recently. Yeah, I was actually was going to roll down there by myself, and I was at the Chat Room, and Jeff was there, and I was like, hey, you want to go to New Orleans? He's like, let's go. I was like, woo, let's go.
So did you have a good time?
Yeah, we did. I had posted on Instagram about going over there, and somebody messaged me and asked if I'd like to play at their little house get-together, and so we did that, and then Jeff hooked us up with a gig at the Public House in Uptown.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
So it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
So was that for one of your first road shows, or have you done more?
Yeah, that was actually one of the first road shows. Yeah.
Do you like playing house parties?
Oh, I love it. I'll take an intimate show over anything, you know.
Yeah, see, that's something I didn't grow up with. There wasn't a lot of, I mean, any house parties, there was just a record player or a boombox or whatever. There was just, you know, music on, but there was never a band playing.
Yeah.
And but these days, it seems like that's more of a common thing to have.
Yeah.
You know, especially like singer-songwriters or like small groups can get together and do that. And
sure.
I don't think I've even been to one yet over here. But yeah, they're on all the time.
Yeah. There was one off of Fifth Avenue. My friends Ryan and Josh, they put together a little house show thing, and recently me and Jake Palachek played over that one. It was good.
Now he's a guy from Patriot, right?
Yes,
yeah, that's cool. And so y'all play together?
At that house show, yeah.
Was like you played and then he played, or did y'all actually play songs together?
Yeah, it was like I played and then he played, and then there was like another band that was there.
Okay,
yeah.
And then you also played at Arts Goggle.
Mm-hmm. That was fun.
You played at the coffee shop, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I played at Avoca, and then I did a couple at Kenton Company Wines.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was good.
So do you think there's a lot of people that see you at those kind of events that don't normally get to see you? Because I bet, like, a house party, that's more of your friends.
And
you probably know most of the people that are there or seen them and stuff.
Yeah, it was cool. Yeah, there was a lot of people that I've never seen before, and so it was good, you know, just being able to, you know, play to some new faces.
Now, do you live over here?
Yes, I live off of Fifth Avenue.
Okay, all right. And so Yeah. So do you like all the different stuff that happens as far as like that and like the open streets and the.
Yeah. You know, I love it.
Yeah, know. I think it's just the coolest area.
Yeah.
Because we've been over here, I think, just a couple of years. Well, I think it's about almost 2.5 years.
Oh, cool.
And but that was the reason why, because we would just, you know, we came over here looking at homes one day, and it was the 4th of July, and we ran into the Fairmont Parade. Oh. It's like, this neighborhood has its own 4th of July parade. There's kids being pulled in wagons and
yeah.
dogs on leashes. But they had a fire truck out there squirting kids with the water hose. Oh, wow. And it seemed like a 1950s Mayberry kind of a thing. Mm. You know what I mean? It was like, this is so cool. This actually still happens yeah. in a big city,
mm.
you know. But that's the kind of neighborhood that it is over here where it's
yeah,
very...
I dig, you know, the people and just the vibes, you know.
The other night I went to the warehouse on Thursday for the Skeleton Coast show.
Oh, cool.
It was their final show. Yeah, it was good. I think it was them. They kept calling Jeff Daisy up on stage to play with them, but either he wasn't there, he might have been out back or gone or something because it was late. But
okay.
I think they were calling him to come up on stage and play a song with them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So I don't know what his history is with them, but that would have been cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was a lot of folks there in local bands, you know, out to see. Mm. Plus, it was a Bummer Vacation played,
yeah.
and the Titles played. Okay. And, but yeah, I was there, and I was telling Luke that that you were coming on the podcast on Sunday. So we were talking about you a little bit, and then all of a sudden his phone rang. He's like, "Look who it is!" And it was you. He's like, "He never calls me." You know, and it was just funny because we were just talking about you. Yeah,
that's hilarious.
But yeah, could you? I know Luke and Vincent, and they talk really highly of you. Do you run with those boys every now and again?
Yeah, I first met Luke because of the open mic that they used to do at the warehouse
okay.
on Thursday mm-hmm. nights, and you know I used to go to that, you know, every Thursday, and it definitely helped me a lot, you know, just. You know, because I started out at State Wired Coffee Shop, and so just being in a different atmosphere was good. But Vincent, I forgot how I met him. Through Luke.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. With I can't remember exactly how I met Vincent, other than it was a Facebook thing. And somehow we had become friends, and I didn't know he was a singer. I wasn't even doing this podcast or anything yet. But he had wrote something about if you were going to die and you knew it, what would your last words be or something like that? And I think I'd said something like, "Oh shit," you know, it would be mine. But we started talking back and forth, and I thought, and he was an interesting dude. He was real funny, you know, mm-hmm. and a little strange on online and stuff. But that's kind of how we started to talk. And then I started to like watch his posts and see him like posting videos of songs and stuff. I was like, wow, this guy's really good.
Yeah.
You know? And it was the same kind of thing with you or whatever. I would just kind of see, start watching your, like you posted a video that was in black and white. Was it River Walk or River Run?
Oh, River. Yeah.
Or mm-hmm. River. It was just River. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's only like a 13 seconds, but I was like, I want some more. You know?
Oh, thank you.
It's cool. I like that we live in a time period like, are you in your 20s, like 23, 24?
25.
25? Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, I think it's cool that you can just, as a band, you know, you can just have a friend with a phone and you can make a video and put it online.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
Do you find, because it's cooler that you can make a record in your house or in a warehouse, you know, really cheap these days and stuff, and you can put it online with SoundCloud and everything. But do you find, because it's so easy that it's harder to break through? I mean, because there'd be more bands that can do it. Because before, you had to be able to come across a 4-track machine or to make a really good sound in demo, or you had to have some kind of money or win a best of the band contest. Sure. I wonder if these days it's harder because it's easier for people to...
Harder to...
To get noticed because there's so much, it kind of floods because everybody can make a YouTube video.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah, I would say so. There's definitely a lot of, you know, since it's so easy to put it out, you know, it's so much out there. But I guess it all just boils down to the product that you're pushing, you know, and mm-hmm. if it's something that'll make people turn their heads, you know, and be like, you know, well, this cat's doing something different, you know.
It'll stand out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No matter what you're in. Yeah, because there's so much, with anybody being able to do it, there's so much mediocrity because anybody, you know, can do it. And so, it may even be a better because there's more of a contrast. Now, when something really does pop, you can really tell because it's against all the backdrop of the, you know, the media. I wonder if that's how, let me see here. Oh, I saw that you were into into vinyl. Like, do you collect vinyl and stuff?
Yeah, a little bit. I get it, you know, whenever I can. I don't even have a record player right now.
Oh, you don't? Yeah, okay, but, I thought you had one.
but definitely need to get one for sure. Just have a whole bunch of vinyl sitting around.
Do you have like a lot of old stuff?
Yeah. Mostly, of course, Sam Cooke and his gospel stuff, and just whatever I can get my hands on.
So I don't know a lot about Sam Cooke. What time period was he in? Was he in the 60s?
Yeah, he started out like around the late 50s with a band called the Soul Stirrers, and then he kind of went on from making gospel music and started doing like pop music, and just his first hit song was You Send Me, and just soared from there.
How'd you get turned on to him?
I remember the first time I heard A Change Is Gonna Come in the Malcolm X movie, and I asked my dad, I was like, who is that? And he's like, and then started telling me about him, and like his, you know, his fate and everything, and I was like, you know, but I didn't really like dig into it after that. It wasn't until somebody had heard my song Lisa Sawyer and asked if Sam Cooke was one of my inspirations, and I was like, I knew one song, but I, you know, just wasn't on him like that. And so after that, started digging into him, and I was like, whoa, you know, hooked.
Yeah, isn't that weird how that happens? You're almost, you know, kind of attracted to it without even knowing. You know,
yeah,
kind of even had that kind of vibe going without ever really getting into it, and it's cool because then you find this artist that you can, it kind of resonates with you,
yeah.
And does it help you to write more whenever you listen to him, like ideas for like songs or chord progression and stuff?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does.
So how long have you been playing guitar?
About 3 years.
About 3 years?
Mm-hmm.
How'd you start playing? Did somebody just show you a couple chords or did you go online?
Yeah, what had happened was I had a friend who played guitar, and she did soul music, and I was just blown away by, you know, just the sound, you know, and because I started out on piano first, but just the fact that guitar was portable, and I just, you know, just love the sound of it. And then one day, she was about to go to class, and she asked me to watch her guitar, and I was like, can you show me like a couple of chords? And she wrote down like A minor and E minor, and so I was just strumming that forever, you know,
until you got it down.
Yeah,
that's cool, man. What attracts you to the resonator?
I mean, I just really like the classic look of it.
Yeah.
And it's really, I borrowed this because I don't have an acoustic guitar, and I've been wanting to, you know, play with acoustic.
Yeah. You know. It does have a, because of that, because they're the ones, for anybody listening doesn't know, it's a guitar that has a big silver this cone or like disc in the middle of it. And so that's where the sound resonates from. So it gives it kind of a twang, you know, so like a lot of country or like even like blues, like Delta blues and stuff like that, they'll use those.
Mm.
But a lot of times they'll like do the open tuning, like open E or G or whatever, and use like a slide bar.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Bam,
you know, or even put it on their lap and play it as a slide guitar. But I had one for a little, it was a Fender, and, but man, I think the neck was too short or something. I didn't, for the reason, it just didn't feel, I like the way, I think they're my favorite looking good guitars as far as that style, but I couldn't quite get my vibe going with it.
Okay.
You know, and cause that's the way it is, because you got to pick it up and it's got to feel.
Yeah.
You got to be like one with the guitar, mm-hmm. you know, if you're going to really make good music on it, exactly. I think. And so yeah, I was wondering kind of what attracted, because man, that's a good looking guitar.
Yeah.
It's like, I just like those. I like those a whole lot. My father-in-law still has, he has one. And so I'll go over and I'll pick it up and I'll kind of play with it a little bit. You know, and I like them, but I always like that. It just has that, because of that metal, it has that twang,
mm-hmm.
kind of a tin to it or something.
Yeah.
But so speaking of your song, Lisa Sawyer, is that actually about your mom?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was her name?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. That's cool, man. I always wondered if that was just a story that you wrote, or you know, or if that was an actual autobiographical type of.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
It's about my mother. Mm-hmm.
Are a lot of your songs that way? Do you find your inspiration comes from things that have happened to you or things you thought?
Yeah. Sometimes, like I wrote a song about my grandmother called Doris, and then I wrote a song about how my mom's parents met and. But most of the time, it's just trying to paint a picture, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, like, was there a girl named Daisy May?
No. Okay. That's from my recent trip to New Orleans. And just got inspired over there. And me and Jeff Daisy were on the way back home, and we're listening to this guy named Jesse Belvin. And I was like, got the idea for it. And actually, the name came from, you know, I don't know if you know Michael Vincent, but his dog, his name is Daisy May. And
oh, really?
He suggested I should write a song about it.
Oh, funny. Day,
so that's how that happened.
Yeah. So that's a pretty new song then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you just went like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I actually started writing it at least 3 days ago.
Oh, that's so cool. That's, you know, right off the presses.
Yeah. Yeah, I was super inspired.
Let me see what else, because I took down a lot of notes, so I didn't forget. Did I see that you're going to be on the next Chevy Music showcase?
Mm-hmm.
Dude, that's cool.
Yeah, that'll be. Yeah, we had a blast, you know, shooting it.
So they've already got it all shot and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Where was it at? Or can you say? I mean, are you allowed to say?
Yeah, it was at Keys Lounge.
Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah,
it was cool.
And so you play like a few songs and they videotape you and then just
and we do like a little interview. Yeah. Artist on artist interview thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who was the artist that was with you?
It was Chambers.
Chambers?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that.
Yeah, they're a Denton
band. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, is it James Lovely, the guy that does that? I think it is. I met him at the Arts Google. It was pretty cool. He's pretty, because we're Facebook friends, and so I'm always, he's posting, you know, different stuff about which bands are coming up next.
Okay,
and
that's awesome.
And he actually works at a dealership, you know, I think selling cars too, but he's also associated with that somehow.
Oh, okay.
And, I'd seen that and I was like, oh, that's cool. Like I said, you got all kinds of stuff happening to you
mm-hmm.
know. And so that show, if anyone's interested, it usually comes on, is it like during the commercial break for...
Jimmy Kimmel?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how it happens? Like you watch part of Jimmy Kimmel and then it comes on, or does it come on right before it?
I think you watch. I don't know how it works. I think it's maybe after. I mean after.
Okay, I've only watched them on a YouTube because they always eventually end up on
mm-hmm.
you know on there. And so
yeah.
the ones that I've seen, I'd actually seen on there. So I didn't know how it actually worked on a live television.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I think that's cool.
Yeah, we had fun. I'm excited to see it.
Yeah, because I don't know how if it goes out nationwide.
No,
I think it's at least regional to where you might get like Oklahoma and Louisiana or New Mexico or something. I bet you might. I think maybe.
Okay,
you know,
yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, you know, people sitting up that late watching it and like, who's this guy?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, man, because whenever you hear your stuff, you're like, huh. This isn't like everything else that I'm hearing. It's just there's something different to it. It does sound authentic, and you know it's good because some people may not be into soul music,
yeah.
And some people may not be into country or rock, but there's always one or two people that can play that sound, but kind of cross over to where it's like everybody likes it, even if they don't like soul music or whatever.
For sure.
I think that's kind of where you would be at, you know, where
I think, yeah, I think so too.
You know, you have it's a very accessible sound,
mm-hmm.
But it's not hacky or, you know what I mean, as far as just what everybody else is doing.
Yeah, you know, everybody's familiar with that you know, sound, and it's good that it...
What else we got here? Oh, and I also saw that, you'd recorded a song for a film, Melville.
Yes.
So what was that like?
Oh, man, it was amazing. We did record one song that'll be played at the ending credits, mm-hmm. and then another one called Lonely Road that'll for a little scene in the film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just an independent film?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is somebody in town doing it?
Yes, James Johnson.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right on. And that's cool.
Cool guy.
Do you know when it'll come out or anything?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah, I want to hear it. Yeah, so, I mean, see it.
And, so you, did you see what it was going to be played over, or did you just go in and just make a song and they told you?
They showed me the scene. Yeah, oh, yeah? The scene is he's actually riding down Magnolia or whatever. It's cool. Real cool.
That's real cool. You know, yeah. I think it's neat to see our city and those kind of stuff.
Yeah, you know, it was good seeing it, and then I kind of thought of like how I wanted to deliver, you know, how I make the melody and
mm-hmm.
deliver the.
Did you write it for the song? I mean, did you write the song for the movie?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, right on. And the ending credit one too, I guess it was written for the movie.
You know Curtis Heath?
No.
Yeah, he actually had the progression and everything, and I wrote the lyrics.
Oh, right on. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cool. All right, I think we're about the halfway point. Do you want to do another one?
Sure.
What song do you want to play next?
I think I'll play the Lonely Road, the one we wrote for the
Okay, film. That's cool. All right, hang on real fast for me.
You are my one and only. The wind has blown, and now you're gone. Don't leave me alone, 'cause if you go, I'll be roaming down a lonely road. Lonely road. You're holding on by a thin string, baby. Don't leave me in the sea, 'cause if you go, I'll be roaming down a lonely road. Lonely road, lonely road, lonely road.
Okay, we are back. Yeah, so Lonely Road, man, that's a groovy song.
Thank you.
Yeah, it even, you know, it kind of paints a picture, you know, I mean, you could, I don't know. In my mind, I could just see, you know, like a lonely road, dark mm-hmm. road kind of.
Yeah.
You can't really see the periphery, and it's just the headlights. It's dark, obviously, in my, you know, or whatever. I'm just kind of, but, do you write a lot of love songs?
Yeah.
As far as like, you know, like that type of either like heartbreak or.
Yeah, heartbreak, love songs.
Yeah, or love songs like I found the girl and I'm all happy now or whatever, mm-hmm. but, you know.
Yeah.
Do you find that's easier to write or a little harder to write?
Definitely easier. Usually it's just stuff like that about heartbreak or you know, love, you know, or just, you know, whenever I get inspired to write, you know, from, you know, song about my grandmother or mother, you know.
Yeah. Sorry, I had to edge down a little bit. Yeah, I've always had a hard time writing songs because, like, I want to write songs for the kids because I have a little girl who's 10. I got a little boy, you know. And you hear all these artists that'll write these really great songs about being a dad or mm-hmm. or having a son or having a daughter. And it's like I hear them. It's like, man, I just for a reason I can't tap into, to that. I'm sure that I could write something, but it seems like what I've already heard is so good. Mm-hmm. You know, cause I was telling somebody the other day, it's like I'm a huge fan of that Guns N' Roses song, Sweet Child of Mine. I think it's just one of the coolest songs written about it, you know, about a kid. It's rocking, but it's got beautiful lyrics, and it's catchy and moody, and it's like, unless you could write a song better than that, you know, you shouldn't write a song about it. You know, you shouldn't be that way, but don't say that's the way that I would approach it.
Yeah, I feel you.
But I was wondering, do you ever have a hard time like that? Like, I can't write a song about my mom because there's this song that this guy wrote about his mom that's just like, wow.
You know,
you know, that's cool. You just let yourself do what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, do it in your own way. And
yeah, it's probably the secret, you know. try not to, you know, be somebody else, but to be who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Was music a big whenever you were growing up, like as a little kid, 8-year-old, 9-year-old and stuff? Was your family into music or?
Not really. I was just a kid that was really into a lot of the R&B, popular R&B around the time, and real fascinated with R&B bands and like Drew Hill and 112.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I don't even know.
You know? Yeah. So yeah, it's all good, and that's you know.
I think for my period, would it have been like a Bell Biv? Is it Bell Biv?
Duo? Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean that'd be R&B, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that'd be like my time period.
Okay.
You know,
cool.
Some of that kind of stuff. And matter of fact, I was thinking of somebody earlier, but I never got it. Like, I like some of that stuff, you know, like, that girl is poison,
mm-hmm.
or whatever. I mean, I like some of it. There was the time, which was somebody that was spun off of Prince, right? Wasn't there somebody in like one of Prince's bands that went on to do the time? Or no, I think the time was in a Prince movie, or something. But anyways,
mm-hmm.
But a lot of that stuff didn't resonate with me, but some of the old, like, Motown stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I liked it a lot better.
Oh,
know?
Yeah.
And that's what my parents would let me listen to. I wasn't allowed to listen to rock music, really, when I was growing up.
Mm.
And so it was a lot of 50s
stuff. That's awesome.
And so it was Elvis and Jerry Lewis and, you know, a lot of the bebop. And
Oh, cool.
But, of course, a lot of that would cross over into the R&B, the Motown sounds would get in there as well, with, like, the Pointer Sisters or, you know... so yeah, I was wondering how that, you know, if you were, so, that, did you ever, cause I saw that you said that you were listening to, the Quaker City Nighthawks when you were pulling into the Big Easy.
Oh yeah.
So, I mean, you're not just all R&B soul all the time. You like all different types of.
Yeah. All different types. Mostly just like real rootsy, type stuff and just, you know, whatever. I don't really listen to any particular artists like hard like that, but now recently been getting into Van Morrison and and Townes Van Zandt and just different
types. Is that because of Vincent?
Yes, that is, because I remember, because I didn't even know about the guy.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about him, but man, he talks about him all the time, so it's like, all right, I gotta check this dude out, you know. And so yeah, I don't know a whole lot about him either, but that's the name that comes up a whole lot with a lot of the local writers around here. Really,
yeah.
Into Van Zandt. You like the rootsy stuff. So, yeah, I mean, I guess Quaker City Nighthawks is kind of has that American rootsy to it. And what's Jake's band called? Patriot.
Patriot.
They have that same
kind of... Same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of my favorites in Fort Worth, for sure.
See, he always has on the... not always, but he wears a Western suit jacket. A lot.
Oh.
It's a suit jacket, but it has like the little embroidered across the chest, and then like, almost like a W in the back. It has a little country.
Okay. You know, yeah, I don't think I've ever seen him wear that.
Yeah, I seen him wear one of those, and he had his hat on and stuff. I was like, man, I can't find one. I want one of those, you know, jackets, and I can't find one. You know, I keep looking at the, like, where do you get your digs at? Do you get them at Goodwill and stuff, or is there actually?
Yeah, a lot of the stuff. I'm usually over at Thrift Town real heavy, but I've been going to this little place called Dolly Pythons in Dallas. They have a lot of vintage clothing.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And so it's nicer and stuff, because some of the stuff that you get at thrift stores they're worn. And,
yeah, you know, I mean, it says that you can find stuff that's like definitely from, you know, the
time period.
You know, that time period, like, you know, in a thrift store, I can get lucky and find something that's, you know, that's sort of, you know, close to that. But
yeah. Yeah, but your clothes always look new, like you just bought them. You know, I mean, not like, because like I said, you know, even some of the thrift store clothes, they look worn. Even though you just bought them, they still look like you've had them forever.
Yeah.
Where, you know, like a lot of times your clothes, they're brand new. And so, mm-hmm. Yeah, I wondered if you went to like a boutique type shop.
I wish there was a designer that made this type of style. Maybe there is.
Yeah. It probably cost you a pretty penny.
Though, oh, yeah. You know, oh, man.
Other than like the Roots, do you have any favorite bands around town other than like the couple that I've, you know?
Yeah, I like Foxtrot Uniform. Mm-hmm. Who else?
You see, I didn't know that when I saw you play, after you played, the girl gets up there with the big hat and she played the keyboard and started singing or whatever, and I learned that it was Katie Robinson.
Yeah.
And she was great. I mean, fantastic. I was like, who is this girl? You know? And so, but I didn't know that she was in Foxtrot.
Yes.
As well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So she does a few different things, I think. I think she's in a few different bands.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, she does the Foxtrot, and then I think, I forgot what her other projects are.
And then she does some solo stuff every now
yeah.
and then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, now I think that she's somebody I need to get on here, because I bet I could plug her keyboard into the mixer.
Oh, yeah, word. Yeah.
And she could still sing and do, you know, kind of what she did at the chat.
Yeah, room. Yeah, would be great.
Do what you're doing, but, you know, with a keyboard. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but she's got a powerful voice.
Yes, she does.
So are you from Crowley? Or Cleburne? Was it
Crowley? No. Yeah, I was born in Atlanta, but I was raised in between Crowley and in the South Side, Fort Worth. Okay. My dad lives South Side. My mom lives in Crowley.
Okay. So you've been over here pretty much your whole life?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. What school did you go to?
I went to Crowley High School.
Crowley High School?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Now, like I said, I like it over here, but we're kind of interlopers. We just came over here a couple of years ago. You know?
Okay.
But yeah, but we're not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But so whenever you were in high school, did you always want to come to Fort Worth to go party or meet girls and
no,
that kind of separate job?
Not really. I didn't get into the Fort Worth thing until I started going to the open mic they had at Staywire Coffee Shop off of Barry. And that's how I met Jake Palachek. Okay. And just blown away when I first saw him. And
see, I don't even remember that coffee shop. Is it still there? Staywire? Okay.
Yeah.
What is it now?
No, it's just a vacant building.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, it's the one that's next to the chat room. Is that what it was?
It's off of Barry.
I mean, not chat room, but is it next to the cellar?
Yes, the cellar.
Okay, that's mm-hmm. what it is. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So they used to have an open mic there?
Yeah.
And then you would just go there?
Yeah, then after that, closed down, then the warehouse open mic started, and I went and started going to that, and I guess that's, you know, just, you know, kind of got into the scene.
Yeah. And then now you're playing, but you play all over the place now, like I said, from, you know, on West 7th Street to,
yeah,
you know, even your house parties. Are you going out of town anytime soon again? You going to do more shows?
Yes. I'm going to be doing a showcase in Nashville November 11th.
Really? Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens when they do a showcase? What does that mean exactly?
Yeah, basically, there's like a couple of different labels that are interested in mm-hmm. seeing me, and so, you know, management set up, you know, a show for me.
And so you go out there and you'll play a show, and there'll be record yeah. labels sitting in the audience mm-hmm. watching. Will there be other bands playing your show as well, or is it just you?
Yeah, there's another guy playing. I forgot his name.
Are they interested in him as well, or is he just a local guy that brings
local
the crowd?
Guy.
Okay. Does it make you nervous at all, or is it just real?
I'm excited, and I'll probably get a lot more nervous when it gets close to
yeah.
when I'm there.
When it's actually really happening, you're like, mm-hmm. okay, now I'm nervous.
Yeah.
That's cool. I think the Long Shots are doing a showcase in New York right now.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, they're in New York doing, you know, something like that.
Cool. But yeah, I'd wonder what exactly that meant. So they're going to have actual people in the audience.
Mm-hmm.
So it isn't like you're playing a show and somebody's like, hey, Leon, this guy, this A&R rep is here from, you know, because that's the way it is in the movies. You're just playing a show and then somebody tells you that there's an A&R rep in the audience, you know, or whatever. But you actually will go somewhere and
yeah. Mm-hmm.
See, I think I would rather just already be playing my show and they just kind of show up.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Yes, that's true. Because now that you know, do you ever feel like you might, see, you don't seem like the kind of guy like where you try to show off or something. Like, oh, I got to be, you know.
Yeah.
Do something, you know, that you're.
Nah.
Out of the ordinary or whatever to mess.
Yeah, I just I like to give it 100%, you know, and anytime, you know, any show.
Yeah,
you know,
that's cool. And then they'll, I guess they'll put you up like room and board and all that stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm excited.
And so you have like a, I don't even know who because I don't really know any names or anything, but you actually have like people that work with you that help you. Get yes. these kind of things or whatever,
mm-hmm.
like an agent and stuff?
Yeah. My managers, Zeke and Jonathan,
uh-huh.
they are, they're in Mick Management out of New York.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So how'd you get hooked up with those guys?
Because of Austin Jenkins from Mike Denham.
Uh-huh.
It all started because I was playing Tuesday night during Sam's little thing at Magnolia.
Uh-huh.
Austin, he saw me there and... When he approached me and was like, man, we have to do a record. And so basically, Zeke and Jonathan, they manage him and White Denim. And so they were interested in managing me. And
that's cool. So what? See, I don't know White Denim. So what do they do? Are they, is it the same kind of music or are they just...
No, it's like bluesy rock,
okay.
Indie. Type of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And are they local?
Austin.
Oh, they're from Austin?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. No, because I think I know the name, but I can't, but I don't know why. I know I've never seen them play.
Yeah. Thing. Yeah. I had never heard of them before that. You know.
But they actually have, they've actually got some sort of standing and stuff. And
yes.
And they took notice of you. And,
mm-hmm.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. It's cool how, I mean, when he told me, he said, yeah, I want to get the record sounding exactly, you know, like it came out in the 50s.
Uh-huh.
And so everything, the way they arrange it is so laid back, man. And it just really lets the, you know, the voice, you know, stand out.
So sure. are you recording, like, on equipment from that time period as well?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
So yeah.
All the reel-to-reel stuff?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're using, like, the guitars from the time period? Or
yeah.
As close as you can, I guess?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, it was fun, real fun.
Yeah, like I said, it's like stepping in a time machine.
And yeah, through. It was definitely, it was like, man, am I at Muscle Shoals right now, you know?
Yeah.
Or Stacks, you know, but it was cool.
But see, it's you know, it's that, I guess it's a cliche for a reason, but if you do the work, you know what I mean? So many times people want to just be able to do it and everything happens for them or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, like, I don't know a whole lot about you, but just from a little bit of time that I've been following whatever, it seems like you're always working. You're always playing somewhere mm-hmm. at some point, you know, either making songs in a studio or playing a show or playing a mm-hmm. house show or going on the road to play another show or...
Yeah, and this is, you know, all this is just, you know, practice for me because, like, this is all still new to me, like, you know, playing guitar and
uh-huh.
and all that type of stuff and just trying to get sharpen up before I get into, you know, bigger platforms, you know. And
do you ever have any free time? I mean, like, what do you do? Like, you know, like do you go fishing? Do you, like, go into the mall?
I wish.
Yeah.
Nah, yeah. wow. Yeah, all I do is just hang out with friends and right, you know,
yeah.
bar, you know, hit up the bar. But other than that, it's just playing music and yeah, that's it.
Yeah, you don't have a girlfriend or anything?
No.
Mm-hmm. Because you don't want one because you don't have time for one, or you just
don't want commitment right now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, make the music first.
Yeah,
all that other stuff will come later. Mm-hmm. You know, no, that's cool. No, because I wonder, you know. But you don't have a regular job, like a real job.
Yes, I work at Del Frisco's Grill
in the
morning. Mm-hmm.
Are you a waiter?
No, I work in the kitchen.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Yeah, it's a good restaurant.
Yeah, it's good.
It's a, and that's a girl that has a, when I was a kid, I always liked the little ads because of the D-Lincoln lady that's on the ads. I don't know if you're listening to the ads on the radio or not. But there's a lady named D-Lincoln who always is on the Del Frisco commercials, and she's got a really strange voice.
Oh.
But she would always make me laugh. I know you're like, this is totally random. You work at Del Frisco's, and I'm like, yeah, man. I liked the commercial when I was a kid. And she's still on it, too. She's been on there for 20 years. I don't know exactly, you know, but she became like kind of the voice of the radio ad or whatever. But,
Okay.
But that's cool. So for some reason, I just imagined that you got up like around 11 o'clock or whatever and ate some cereal and then picked up your guitar.
I wish.
And just started playing around, fiddling or whatever. And
then, yeah.
You know, and then kind of hung out with some friends for a little while, played some video games, played the guitar some more, went to the show. You know what I mean?
I wish. Not, but yeah, soon I'll be there.
You'll be able to do that kind of stuff?
Mm-hmm. Right now I got to hold it down, you know, for sure.
You have some videos on YouTube. I haven't seen a whole lot, but you do have a couple of videos as well, right?
Yes.
Are they shot with like a phone, or are they like real music videos, like with camera and editing and all that
kind of thing? Yeah, I did this thing called So Far Sessions,
mm-hmm.
and I did the Lisa Sawyer song, and then the other videos, if you are just some stuff that people shot, you know.
Oh, like at Lola's or wherever you're playing at. Yeah. Recorded you mm-hmm. up online.
Yeah.
That's what, and I was wondering though if you had like any like music. So you know, like a music video where it's like a story or you know what I mean. Like,
yeah, I shot a music video with an End of the River Productions with Chip Tompkins.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we shot a video for Coming Home.
Okay. So yeah. That's an actual real on music video.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How was that process for you? Did you help with the idea of the video, or did you just show up and do whatever they wanted you to do?
He had the idea actually, and it was, you know, his, you know, everything that his, you know, his vision for the video was, and I was digging it, so
yeah,
just went with it.
Do you find it easy to find people to work with that share your vision?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, it seems like in this area, there's a real affection towards the old school, I guess, if you will. You know, the old mm-hmm. sound. And especially like, I mean, you know Robbie and stuff over at 3D mm-hmm. Sounds. You know, he's into all that.
And he's like another one of the reasons that why I started digging into that old soul sound.
Yeah, he started to show you some stuff?
Yeah, because when he first heard me, you know, he kind of mentioned some soul cats, and I started digging, you know, into it more after that.
Yeah, no, it's cool. You know, it's like it's way back when, but whenever the whole grunge scene came out or whatever, you know, I'd really got into like Pearl Jam and Soundgarden and all that stuff, and they're like, well, if you like this, then you would like Black Sabbath. I'm like, oh, I don't like Black Sabbath. That was too heavy and dark and. Man, it's the same freaking thing. I didn't know, you know. I just, and at that age, even though I was in my, you know, I was probably your age or a little bit younger, I didn't realize that the music kind of goes in cycles,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so, we'll borrow from stuff back then, and then as well as add our own new spin to it, and then the next generation will borrow stuff from back then or even now and add their own spin to it. Mm-hmm. It just kind of keeps on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you can find a guy like you and be, oh, I like this. Oh, well, if you like this, then you'll like this guy and this guy, and then find out who they were influenced by. And you know, did you ever get into that old like 30s and 40s Delta blues kind of swampy music? Like where they'll play those resonators with the glass bottle. My baby don't left me.
I mean, yeah, I don't even know where to look to get it. I mean, I'm familiar with a couple of blues artists, but I've never really dug into it like that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, hardcore. I mean, I understand like some of the old, like Muddy Waters and, you know, some of that stuff, but yeah, I wonder how far back you went with some of that stuff, because the time period that you're into with like the soul music, most of the stuff that I was listening to, like I said, was Elvis or the Beach Boys or
Mm-hmm.
You know, different things like that. And I like to see the different types of... Because I always had an idea that the 50s were kind of like Leave It to Beaver. Did you ever watch Leave It to Beaver when you were a kid or whatever?
Yeah.
On Nick at Night or something?
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I thought that life was back then. Mm-hmm. There wasn't any crime. There wasn't any drugs.
Any
pregnancies. You know. But there was a total underground going on during that time.
Yeah.
All this really great music and art and drugs and teen pregnancy and all this other stuff as well. But you just didn't see it on... on the TV station. So do you have any big plans going for the new year? Because like we have Halloween and Thanksgiving and Christmas coming up.
Yeah.
So once you get through that, is next year going to be a big year for you, you think?
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully get the record out and tour. And hopefully have the, whatever label I decide to go with, all that in line, you know.
So do you think, if you signed with a label, would they just release the album that you're currently making? Or would you go in and remake it or make a different one?
No, release one.
The one that you're making now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's cool. And so that's done at Shipping at the Club?
Mm-hmm. Shipping and Receiving.
Mm-hmm. Just a little warehouse next to it.
Yep.
And y'all set up a little... Because I saw the one of the photos you had. So it was a big, giant room, and y'all had kind of built up some walls.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like cubicles, in a sense.
Kinda, yeah.
You know, but you're on one side of the wall, and they had the drums on a different side.
Yeah.
And the mic set up around.
It was cool, you know, just feeling everybody's energy, you know, during the recording, you know. And
how long were y'all up there at a time?
Man.
I mean, like 4 or 5 hours? I mean, like a day, like working, or?
We were there about seven, 8 hours.
Yeah.
The beautiful thing about it is that, you know, I didn't have to pay for anything.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Which is, you know, I'm blessed, you know, for sure.
And so, the songs that are on your SoundCloud are from that session?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and they sound great.
Thank you.
I mean, yeah, they really do. They sound, you know, I had Nolan on from the Hendersons, and your style is kind of like his. Like, whenever I hear that album, I mean, it's the same thing as hearing an album from that time period. Sounds like, you know, the late, you know, like 66, 67, 68, you know.
Cool, thank you.
And I think it's just cool how you guys are able to capture that kind of spirit.
Yeah.
Especially whenever you're only 25. You know, I mean, when were you born, like in the 80s or 90s?
89.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So how did you, you know, I don't know if there's like reincarnation and some old cat from that time period died and was born in the and you actually already did this once before back then, or, you know, or what it is, but I think it's cool how you guys can really tap into that.
It amazed me, like, how tight it sounds and just, you know, sounds, you know, just like you said.
Yeah, that sounds good. So you have a LeonBridges.com.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, it's L-E-O-N, Leon Bridges, like the bridge, Bridges.
Yep.
And then from there, they can link to, I guess, your Facebook page, your SoundCloud page.
SoundCloud.
Twitter, yes. and Instagram and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, because usually I put links to all that stuff, but I'll just put a link to your website because I noticed on the front page you had links to all your social media stuff. Because you have a Twitter handle and Instagram and Facebook page as well. But SoundCloud is where you're putting all your tracks at.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is there only... are you putting like a couple of your new ones up at a time and like slowly going to have the whole album on there? Or are you going to...
Yeah, we possibly might release some more songs. Not sure when, though.
Yeah. That's kind of like a... What Dreamy Sounds will do, like whenever they have like a new record coming out or whatever, they'll play like... They'll give you like 2 tracks... that you can stream from it for like a week or so.
Okay.
And then they'll give you 2 more tracks that you can stream from it for, you know, and up until the day that the record comes out, kind of.
Okay.
You know, so, but, yeah, cause I want everybody to go over there and check it out. Because like I said, I like your sound, just you here with the acoustic guitar. It's really cool for me doing this kind of stuff because I get to have dudes like you come over and play. And I'm just like, man, this is, I feel so cool, you know, that you're playing the guitar and it sounds great. And, but the album is full on drums and it's a full band. It's got a big sound. That it sounds really good. I'll send everybody that way. Do you have any residencies going on now? A lot of people.
I'll be doing a residency at Vagabond, actually, in off of Greenville in Dallas.
Okay.
Sometime in December, but I'll post about it on Twitter and Facebook.
Do you get out there a lot and play?
Every now and then, whatever I can get, you know.
You got to Denton at all?
I played one thing there. It was at this business called Painting with a Twist. Little thing.
So they had painting going on while you were singing? Like you were
painting? No, it was like some type of celebration they were having. Mm. Yeah.
I got you. It was just a business called that, and then they were having a party. And
Okay.
No, because you know how they do that here. They'll have shows, and they'll have somebody actually doing like a live painting while they're playing a show.
Cool.
Yeah, I've seen that a couple of different times. I've only seen that around here. I don't know where that started or if that's something that somebody else does that we kind of do here as well. But yeah, like Lola's, I think, will do it. And I think I've seen a couple of them that'll do that.
Oh, we're...
But do you have any local gigs coming up?
Yeah. On the 29th, Wednesday, I'm playing at 9:30 at Shipping and Receiving.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So that's just in a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
Right on. Are you doing anything for Halloween?
Hopefully trying to find some party somewhere.
Yeah.
But
I think you're having a warehouse party.
Okay, I'll probably be at that for sure.
You know.
But I'll be doing the Untapped Festival on the 1st.
Oh, right on.
Mm-hmm.
Is that here or is that in Dallas?
Dallas.
That's in Dallas. Okay.
Yeah.
It's another one of the Dallas festivals. Is that one of the ones that's done by 91.7? You know what I'm talking about? It's the FM station. It's out of Dallas, but it's public radio, and so it might not be there.
Yeah,
but all right, man, that's cool. Man, you'll get a big crowd out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think the more people that see, like, whenever you do that, whenever you do those things, or like whenever you go to New Orleans and stuff, do you have your Facebook likes and Twitter likes and everything go up? I mean, like, do you actually see?
Yeah.
Your fan base getting bigger whenever you do those kind of things?
Yeah, and mostly from these recordings every release, I've been getting, things been growing and growing.
Yeah, I saw that you had a write-up like in a UK paper or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, that was super cool.
Yeah, I saw that a Joe Prankster said online that he's telling everybody, because he's with Purple now, and they're over in...
Oh, word.
Touring in Europe or whatever, but he had posted a video or whatever, and he was like, I'm telling everybody over here about you. So, I mean, he's trying to spread, you know,
that's awesome.
Your name all over, you know, Europe, you know. No, it's cool, man. I think the community here is really, really cool.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you can help your buddy out some way, get his name out there, it's just going to help you out, you know, which helps out, you know, everyone involved.
Yeah, you know.
You know,
everybody community. Looking out for each other.
Yeah, because there's so many different types of sounds and stuff over here, but the thing that everybody has in common, I think, is the integrity and the authenticity, I guess. Everybody seems to be real.
Yeah.
They're not doing it. They're not trying to be, I got to be this person and sound like this because I want to make a bunch of money and
Be
cool or whatever. Everybody's just kind of like, this is my art. This is what I do. This is how I, you know, express, like it or not. But people like it because it's real and it's honest.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I get that vibe from you. All right, man, I won't keep you any longer. We're just over an hour. But we'll do the last song. Unless there's anything that you want to plug or say if I missed anything.
I think that's it.
I think most people that, I would say probably 90% of the people that are going to hear this are, they're going to know exactly who you are. But, you know, they're just going to say, oh, he did, you know. Dude, I was telling everybody all week long that you were coming on next. Oh, dude, I can't wait to hear this. I'm so excited.
That's awesome.
There's a lot of people that are really stoked to hear you on that. But for the people that don't know who you are, I really want them
to
check you out, man, because it's, you know, your stuff is really easy to fall in love with. It's not like,
thank you.
I like the guy, but I don't like his music, so I'm going to keep listening to it until I do like it. It's not that way. They could be like, I don't really like the guy, but his music is awesome.
Yeah.
You know? I think it's that you have that kind of sound. So, yeah, so it's leonbridges.com, and from there you can get to a SoundCloud page, YouTube page, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that kind of
mm-hmm.
stuff. And make sure that you see him as soon as you can. And we'll play. What's the last song gonna be?
It's a new song. I haven't. What's the name of it? It's not even. It's not even finished. I'll just call it Pull Away.
Pull Away.
Yeah. It's been too long. I wanna walk away right now. I thought that our love was true, but all along I was wrong. My pillow bears the tears of a man in pain. How love I thought I could sustain. Don't worry about me anymore, 'cause I'll be gone by the morning time. Ooh. Our love was true, but all alone.